If you don't know the Lord, in your day-to-day decisions, you're going to value the temporal over the things of Christ. You see, you're going to value your life and this temporal stuff, even to the point of meals, maybe even, over His Word, His people, and more importantly, Him.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a comment from Laura from Oregon. She says, boy, I'm just feasting on the Word. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Well, Laura, thank you so much for your encouragement to us, and we are so thankful for God giving us the privilege to share His Word, and so thankful it's working in the lives of those who are listening.
And Greg, clearly Abraham was our paradigm of faith. Well, now we see Esau as the paradigm of those who fall short of the grace of God. So what do we make of Jacob?
Well, Dave, let's find out. Now would you turn with us in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25, and we're continuing our look at verses 27 to 34.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
When Isaac tries to give Esau the blessing and he is tricked, Isaac certainly has a heart for his son Esau. We see here that now Isaac loved Esau. Why? Because he had a taste for game. Esau is obviously admired and even loved because he's a good hunter and brings home tasty food to his dad. Okay? Esau is loved literally because, you could translate it this way, because his dad, he was loved for his hunting in his mouth. He liked to eat what his son brought him. Isaac loved to eat what Esau brought. So he was loved for that, God says. Then yet notice, Jacob was simply loved. But Rebekah loved Jacob. There's no statement why there, and that's very interesting. I think it's helpful for our passage. Simply, Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, it's my view that Rebekah loved Jacob probably because of what God had told her. The older would serve the younger. Esau would serve Jacob. And ultimately, God would cause Jacob to be the one who would inherit the covenant promises. Jacob was of sound, peaceful thinking, yet still crafty, and God would work that out. In contrast, Esau was a likable guy for what he could do. Jacob was loved by his mother, probably, I think, in context, because of the promises God had made to her. Now, before we get past this little portion, I want to sidetrack for a second. What we're seeing here is a household of divided affection. This is wrong. It's wrong to have divided affection in your household. Proverbs 28:21, to show partiality is not good. Because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. Even to the point of a piece of bread being partial to that level, a man will transgress. And we are seeing partiality in this family. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, I'm going to get all the names mixed up, but you'll know what they are, right? Okay. There is partiality, and brothers and sisters, showing partiality is wrong, especially in your family. We see in Titus chapter 2 that women are commanded by God, the older women are commanded to teach the younger women to love their children, plural. Partiality is not good because it will cause and bring about sinfulness. Because of a piece of bread, a man will transgress. And it grieves my heart, and I've been guilty of it, and I've had to confess it, because we have children, some who are more likable than others, some who obey right away, some who do not obey, some who are more difficult, some who don't have the same interest that maybe we have. And it grieves my heart when I see sometimes the children who are more difficult, actually parents favoring the good one. You're going to cause your children to sin with your sin. And often I see times that in the favoring of the good one, they assume the worst about the bad one. Now, sometimes that's true. And I'm not saying that we don't treat our children differently concerning how they behave, but our love for them should be equal. We should not show partiality. Indeed, we see the partiality that was brought forth in Jacob's family later on, which caused his brothers to want to kill Joseph. That's pretty serious sin, where partiality brought them to the point where they wanted to kill their brother. Parents, if you have shown partiality, if you have treated a child differently because of the way they act or whatever it might be, if you have given favor more to one than the other, that's sin. And you need to confess it. We need to confess it when we do it. And we need to go to our children and acknowledge that sin. Because if we don't, there are consequences in our lives. Sin always hurts those around us. And there will be consequences in the children's lives. It's a little sidetracked there. We have a divided affection within the family. If God's convicting you today, I encourage you to confess and get right before Him. So here we have Esau is a likable guy. The dad likes him more. He loves him more than Jacob. Yet Isaac is a man who, at this point, seems to be seeking the things of the Lord, whether he knows them or not. He is exhibiting soundness and peace. Yet, as we will see, he sins. But he is one who seems to be seeking the things of the Lord, and his brother the things of his own desires. So then, how can we keep from falling short, thinking that we are saved, yet going on to destruction? We need to learn from these brothers. Look at verse 29. We're going to see here that Jacob seems to be interested in spiritual things, yet he goes about it wrongly. And Esau chooses the physical, not caring at all about the spiritual. Verse 29, and when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Verse 30, back in Genesis 25. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, first, sell me your birthright. Jacob had cooked some stew. Later on in verse 34, we're going to see he gave him some bread and some lentil stew. Lentil is, it's legume, I think. And it was obviously a red lentil stew. Jacob had made it. And Esau is out doing what Esau does. He's out hunting. He's a man of the field. And when Jacob cooked stew, Esau came in from the field and was famished. Verse 29, the word speaks of being weary. Hunting was pretty tough that day. He is weary and famished. So what does Esau do? Verse 30, and he said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. He says, literally, give me a gulp. Give me a gulp of that stew, bro. Right? I don't know if he said that. It's actually, he said this here. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Edom means red. And we have those descendants of Esau are the Edomites. And this is why they are called that. Give me a gulp of that red stuff, for I am famished. And then we have that commentary, therefore his name was called Edom. So you think at this point, Jacob, being a really nice brother, would say, here, have a gulp of the stew, right? He doesn't do that, does he? He could have easily given him some food, couldn't he? That would have been the right thing to do. But he doesn't do it. Notice he wants to make a deal. Verse 31, but Jacob said, first, sell me your birthright. Now they're grown up. They're not kids. They're grown up. Now before we look at this portion, we need to understand what a birthright is in Scripture. The birthright literally spoke of the right of the firstborn. Physically speaking, later on in Scripture, the firstborn, in terms of Israel, would get a double portion of the inheritance. You can look at Deuteronomy 21, verse 16 and 17. But spiritually speaking, the firstborn would have the right to all the spiritual promises which would come through the firstborn. It's pretty significant. And within the family, this was a big deal. You know why? Because God had promised that through Abraham's seed and his descendants, all the nations would be blessed, that there would be a multitude of nations, but yet, specifically, there would be one seed in which all the nations would be blessed. Now, I think because of the amount of wealth that Isaac had that had been passed down from Abraham, we see that back earlier in the chapter. Isaac was blessed by God, obviously, through Abraham, physically speaking. that this double portion versus a single portion really wasn't a big deal. We're going to see later on that Esau doesn't get the double portion, but he's a pretty wealthy man. You're going to see later on in chapter 33, he's got 400 men with him. So I don't think the issue of the money is the most important point here. I don't think that's what Jacob is going for. I think Jacob is aware, as we saw early in the chapter, and God, inspired by his Spirit, has laid these things out in this way for us to see them. He is aware that the promise should come through him. But yet he is seeking to bring it about through his own wisdom and his own cunning sinfulness, rather than waiting on the Lord and trusting in him. We'll see his mother helps him with that later on. That sometimes people would want to do what's right, but do it in their own strength and flesh, and we need to learn from it. And Jacob certainly would learn, having more than 14 years in the crucible of God's discipline in the family of Laban. So we have the right of the firstborn. I think Jacob somewhat understood this. So at this point, he's trying to get the birthright. And it's my thought, possibly this isn't the first time he's been asking for it. He's probably been wanting to get the birthright for a while, and now he sees an opportunity. He is cunning. He is really, literally, deceptive. And he sees an opportunity. Here's his brother, who is all about the food. And he says, sell me your birthright first. You want a gulp of the stew? Sell me your birthright. I think Jacob is trying to get the spiritual blessing his way. He's certainly doing what is wrong. Yet we're going to see Esau is a godless man. Jacob is a man who will know the Lord, who will follow the Lord, not perfectly, who will grow in his relationship with the Lord. He is a man who is a saved man. Probably at this point, if he isn't saved at this point, he is certainly looking towards spiritual things and being drawn. So Jacob desires to get what God has promised, yet attempting to get it through his own sinful, deceptive wisdom. But notice in contrast, Esau was a godless man who lived for the present, and he despised the spiritual. Verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I am about to die. So of what use then is the birthright to me? Here is Esau's exaggeration. Do you think he was really about to die and one gulp of stew would save him? I don't think so. I think he's exaggerating here. I'm about to die. And then he says, so of what use then is the birthright to me? If I'm dead, who cares? That's his attitude. Notice he valued the physical and the present over the spiritual and eternal. We're going to see that in Hebrews chapter 12. That ultimately he despised the promises of God so much that he valued a simple meal over that. It is an evidence of someone who is maybe naming the name of Christ, but yet is falling short and would fall short of the grace of God. Behold, I'm about to die, so of what use is the birthright to me? I'm fairly certain that Grandpa Abraham, while he was alive, shared the truth concerning the promises of God with Jacob and Esau, his grandsons. Certainly that Isaac and Rebekah did. You see, Abraham, we saw back in chapter 24, was a man who had shared the truth with his family. We even had his head servant, who was a man who knew the Lord and trusted him. And there's no other way he would have known apart from coming through the truth that Abraham had brought forth. I'm fairly certain that Esau's dad Isaac and his mother Rebekah had done the same thing. Yet Esau valued a physical meal over his right of being the firstborn, which was related to the promises we're going to see. If you don't know the Lord, in your day-to-day decisions, you're going to value the temporal over the things of Christ. You see, you're going to value your life and this temporal stuff, even to the point of meals, maybe even, over his word, his people, and more importantly, him. I see at times people who hear the word of God and walk out in the foyer afterwards, and it's all about the physical and not the spiritual. It has nothing to do with what they've just heard. One evidence that you are possibly falling short of the grace of God and ultimately on your way to punishment is that you on a daily basis are more concerned about the physical sphere than the spiritual realities. Brother and sister, we can also fall back into this trap. We can be tempted by the things that tempted us before we were saved. We can be deceived and hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, by our own desires. We can momentarily see the things of this life as more important. Yet, if this is where your heart is on a continual basis, you're in trouble. Let me share some passages. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And he summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And he's going to explain. "For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Where your treasure is reveals where your heart is at. Esau treasured, at this point, that day, food, more than the promises of the living God. It's a pretty drastic illustration. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Don't store it up here, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Don't store your stuff in a sinful world. It says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where neither thieves break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And notice what he says, verse 22. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other, or think lightly of the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The reality is, Esau is exhibiting where his heart is at. He's exhibiting that. Go to Philippians chapter 3 before we go back to Genesis. When your appetites are merely on the physical of this world, that's all it's about, it is an evidence that something is wrong. Now, certainly we need to eat. Later on in Matthew, he's going to say, hey, don't worry about that. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about it at all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be added. Philippians 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul shares, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and tell you now, even weeping, that they are what? Enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies. Whose end is what? Destruction. That's not good. Whose God is their appetite. That's their desires, the physical. Whose glory is in their shame. And notice what he says. Who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Where's your heart at? Do the things of this earth occupy your heart? I'm not saying we don't think about what we're going to have for dinner. We don't think about where we have to drive to, what we have to do, those things. But do they occupy your heart? Do they suppress down the things of Christ? Jacob the deceiver most likely knows the Lord. He's wrongly trying to obtain that which God had declared would be his. He's trying to buy it for a meal. But God's working on him. In contrast, Esau, his twin brother, doesn't value it at all. As we're going to see in Hebrews, he is a godless, unsaved man. He is the paradigm of those who fall short of the grace of God, even in the midst of the congregation. So notice, Jacob tries to seal the deal back in our passage. Verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I'm about to die. That's not true. He's not about to die. So what use then is a birthright to me? It's all physical. And Jacob said, here you go, he's going to seal the deal. First, swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank. Here we see Esau following through with his actions, selling his birthright for a single meal. And Jacob seals the deal. Swear to me. And Esau swore to him, and he sold his birthright. And then Jacob gave him bread, lentil stew, and he ate and drank. This is telling of Esau's true relationship with the living God, which was not existent. Notice verse 34, what we see next. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank and rose and went on his way. That's a horrifying statement. Esau epitomizes, as we'll see, the godless man. He grew up in a Christian home, yet he did not value the spiritual things of Christ. So little to him were they that he sold his birthright for a single meal. Although he possibly named the name of the Lord, we see he sold that birthright, which was related to the promises, for a meal. Do you want to know if you might be falling short to the grace of God? If you've never truly came to faith in Jesus Christ, your life will be characterized by a continual focus on the present physical world, dismissing the realities or putting down the realities of Christ. You may go to church. You may be sitting there right now, but your thoughts are about you and your life. Oh, you may listen to sermons, but your thoughts are about you and your life. So little in his sight was the birthright. He sold it for a single meal. Now, it's interesting. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We have commentary from the New Testament concerning Esau. And within this commentary, it is one of a thread of warnings to those in the book of Hebrews. Those Hebrews who had named the name of Christ, they had tasted the good word, they had named his name, but yet they were ready to go back to something that could not save. They had not truly trusted in Christ, and they were about to apostatize and go back to Judaism. And so within the book of Hebrews, there are warnings, and there are also encouragements to true believers. And within this thread of warnings, we see that we are to watch out for threats to practical holiness. Chapter 12, just previously, was about God's discipline in our lives. He disciplines the ones he loves, but we need to be careful.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, Esau was unconcerned about his relationship with God, as evidenced by his actions. Jacob, on the other hand, was very concerned about his relationship with God, but he was caught up pursuing it the wrong way.
You know, that's so true, Dave. And now, friend, are you more concerned about the details of the present, to the point that you simply move on to the next thing moment by moment, day by day? Or are you concerned about the big picture, the long view of life, where you fit into God's program? Well, if your immediate needs and desires are primary and godliness is not even a consideration, you are headed in the wrong direction. You're headed in the direction of Esau, and possibly you don't even know the Lord, and thus will fall short of the grace of God. Now, Jacob had his sin problems, but his focus was on the promise that was made way out in the future. And God worked with Jacob, testing him and bringing forth heavy discipline, ultimately ending in a godly life. Friend, don't fall short of the grace of God. Jacob had a rough ride, but he didn't have all the scriptures back then. Today we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. We have the written word, and we are without excuse. Don't fall short. accept the free gift of salvation found in Jesus Christ. Turn to Him, confess your sins, and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then grow and walk in obedient fellowship with the living God. And now we at Equipping the Saints are here to help facilitate that growth.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.